To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Lead the humble and teach them your way. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Your paths are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep your decrees. Let us worship God. Lord our God, we gather in this place in your name to bring you the worship, the praise, the adoration that belongs to you. We thank you that we can depend on you, that you are ever faithful. Lord, there are so many things in our life that are constantly changing. We can't predict the weather. It changes constantly. We can't depend on the stock market. It changes. But we can depend on you and know that your promises are ever true and faithful in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you. Let us be honest with ourselves, with our neighbors, and with the Lord as we confess our sinfulness using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as we enter the season of Lent again this year, we become aware of all the ways in which we fall short of your glory and your wonderful plan for our lives. We confess that we have not loved you with all our hearts, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. During this special season of the year, make us mindful of our sins and failures, but more than that, help us to lift our eyes to the cross of Christ, where we find out how much you love us and how far you are willing to go to forgive our sins and wash them away in the blood of Jesus our Savior. Amen. What is the hardest thing for you to do? I know you can probably think of some things that are really hard for you, but what is the hardest thing for you to do? I think if we thought long enough and were honest enough, we might would say, the hardest thing for me to do is to forgive someone that I don't think deserves forgiveness. And yet the gospel teaches us that even when we were God's enemies, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us and offered us full and free forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So thanks be to God. In Jesus we are forgiven. Amen. All the children now to come forward for the children's sermon. As they're coming, greet someone you close by you, let them know you're glad to see them today. Well, good morning. I'm glad to see all of you today. And just because you came forward this morning, just because you walked all the way from your seat up here, I'm going to give each of you not one, but two special gifts. Only to you, not to anybody else. Okay? The first special gift I'm going to give you is a coloring sheet. Okay? And if you're going to children's church, you can take it with you. If you're not, you can take it back to your seat and work on it, whatever you want to do. This is the season in the church we call the season of Lent. Now, usually when I use the word Lent, I'm talking about something on the floor at home. But not today. See right here, that word, L-E-N-T, Lent. That's the name of this special season of the year between Ash Wednesday and Easter, when we get ready for the celebration of Easter, which is a celebration of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, that Jesus is alive. But we need to take how many days? 40 days. Now, if you start down here, it's kind of like if you were playing a game, you know, and you spin the spinner or roll the dice and count and move forward. Kind of like, have you played Chutes and Ladders? Kind of like that. You start down here. This is Ash Wednesday. That was this past Wednesday. And you see the numbers? 1, 2, 3, 4. What's in the next block? Does it say 5? No, it says first Sunday of Lent. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. But you notice you don't count that Sunday. See how it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, and then that block, and then the next one is 5. So you don't count the Sundays. The Sundays are still days of celebration of Jesus' resurrection. Every time we meet together and worship God right here on a Sunday, we are remembering. You know why we worship on Sunday? Because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. Jesus is alive. So we're still thankful that Jesus is alive even during the season of Lent. So if you count all the days, not the Sundays, what do you come to? What's 38? You see up there at the top? Holy Thursday. 39 is Good Friday. 40 is Holy Saturday. And then the next day is Easter Sunday. So there are 40 days, not including the Sundays, during the season of Lent. So you can take this with you and color it or mark on it or whatever. It's your special gift for coming today. But I told you I have not one, but two special gifts. All right? I'm going to give each of you a bank. Okay? See, it's a flat sheet, but you can make it into a bank like this. And if you have trouble, you can take it to Children's Church. Miss Julie, you're going to be there? You think Miss Julie can take something flat like this and turn it into this? Y'all really have a lot of confidence in Julie, don't you? I do too. So if you need any help, Miss Julie will help you. You can make it into a bank. You know what that looks like? A fish. Yeah. Jesus said, you know, that a lot of the early disciples or followers of Jesus were fishermen. And he said, you know, you fished for fish. I'm going to help you fish for people. I'm going to help you spread the good news about me so that other people can know about me. So the fish reminds you of that. And then there's a little space right there, not in the bottom, but in the top, that you can put coin, or if you take a dollar bill and fold it up, you can put it, and you can keep money in that during the season of Lent, and then you can bring it back on Easter, or if you don't happen to be here on Easter Sunday, you can bring it the next Sunday. This is called the One Great Hour of Sharing, and of course you can participate in this too. But since the 40s, the 1940s, and nobody here remembers the 1940s, because that was so long ago. But since the 1940s, Presbyterians and other Christians have been participating in this offering. It's really a neat way during Lent for us to collect money for those that are in need. So I'm going to give each of you a fish bank, okay? There you go. See what you get coming to church? You get all kinds of prizes. There you go. All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's have a prayer before you head out. Dear God, thank you for the season of Lent, that it helps us prepare to celebrate that Jesus is alive, like on Easter Sunday. So help us during this season to think about you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks so much for coming forward. You can go with Miss Julie out to Children's Church. She'll help you with that because she's really, really smart. Rosalie, tell you what, I'll trade you. Why don't you take that one? Okay. That be all right? And I'll take this one. That was a good trade. Wish I could solve all the problems that easily. Well, we are very blessed today to have Dr. Mickey Eifert as our guest preacher, and then he will be with us for the next 4 Sundays teaching as well. There's probably not anything I can say about him that you haven't already heard. Although I could probably think of some things, but I wouldn't say them here, maybe. But it was a long time ago now, a number of years ago now, that I first walked into the classroom at Duke Divinity School and heard him teach. And when I heard him teach from the very first time, literally from the very first time, I knew he was different from all the other teachers at the Divinity School. Dr. Eford taught me a lot of facts about the Bible. I was blessed to have a class in Old Testament and a class in New Testament. So two different semesters, and he went, so I got to sit and listen to him teach through the entire Bible, you know, in two semesters. So that was a great blessing. But sometimes I wonder if the bigger blessing was not so much what the facts that he taught me, but by watching him at the Divinity School and how he treated the students. He taught me, by example, how to be a pastor, how to care for people. And sometimes, you know, that's even more important than all the facts. So, Dr. Eford, we are so blessed to have you with us, and we look forward to hearing you today.
Well, good morning. I hope my my voice will hold up for you. Of course, if it doesn't, it'll be short. And I expect you would appreciate that. Our scripture this morning is in two places. One, the Old Testament, from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And then in the 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 13 to 23. If you have your Bibles with you, open them and follow along in the reading of the scripture. First in Micah, hear what the Lord says. Arise and plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord. The word controversy here in the Hebrew means that God is calling the people of God into the law court, and God has a suit against them. That's what the word controversy here means, underlying in the Hebrew. You mountains, the controversy of the Lord, you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people and will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. I brought you up from the land of Egypt, redeemed you from the house of bondage. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what then shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. And then from 1 Corinthians, let no one deceive oneself. If anyone among you thinks he's wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. It is written, God catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So let no one boast in other human beings. For all are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ belongs to God. May God add to our minds the understanding necessary to understand God's word for us today and grant us the courage to appropriate God's message in our daily living. Well, I'm as the old saying back goes, bad pennies keep showing up. Before I begin, though, I do want to say something to the members of this congregation. There's those of you who expressed sympathy and concern with your prayers and cards on the passing of Vivian's son, my stepson, back in December. Sort of been a sad time around our house, but your cards and your prayers have helped us tremendously, let me put it that way. And we're grateful for that. All right. Steve always wants me to give the title and scripture to whatever it is I'm going to say about a year in advance. Not quite that bad, but almost. Originally I thought, what am I going to say and what do I want to do and so on and so forth. So I came up with the idea of who do we walk with as a title. And then I got to thinking, there's going to be somebody out there who's an English teacher who's going to say it should be whom and not who, and you shouldn't end a sentence with a preposition. So I changed it to who walks with us. But of course, that reminds me, as Steve said, how many of you remember the 40s? Well, I do, and some of you do too, I think. But at any rate, I remember when I was thinking about that, I thought, well, you know, Winston Churchill, whom I really greatly admire, had a problem with a book editor when he was writing his 6-volume opus on World War II. And one of the little copy editors at the press wrote Sir Winston back and said, Sir Winston, I'm sorry to have to say this, but you're going to have to rewrite this sentence because you ended it with a preposition. And Winston wrote back and said, this is the type of nonsense up with which I will not put. He was a character. He and Lady Astor, they hated each other with a passion. And Lady Astor said to him one day, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your tea. And he said, if you were my wife, I would drink it. Oh, boy. I like that old boy. He was character. Well, the passage in Micah has to do with walking with God. You know, the New Testament, Old Testament, both have a lot to say about walking. And by that mean, they just don't mean putting one foot in front of the other and figuring out how many miles you walked today or how many steps you took or whatever. They mean, what kind of lifestyle is it that you're leading? And I remember when I was a kid, back in the 40s, which nobody seems to remember. But I remember one of the ways in which they would describe somebody is they would say, what is his walk? What is her walk? Meaning, what kind of lifestyle do they live? What are the characteristics of the way in which they conduct themselves and relate to other people? And so there's a lot of business in the scripture about walking. And this passage in Micah 6, 1 through 8, where Micah says, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? Of course, that's the old King James translation. And it's fairly good. But the problem with that is, what is meant by justice? What is meant by mercy? What is meant by walking with God? Well, justice, you know, we hear a lot today about justice. Everybody wants to talk about doing justice in the world and seeing that justice is done and so on and so forth. And that's good in some ways, but the word justice in the scripture, especially in the Old Testament, has the connotation of doing what God requires. In other words, what does the Lord require of you but to do what God requires? That's what justice is. Justice is not some sort of a amorphous kind of philosophical concept up in the sky somewhere that everybody gets to define any way they want to define it, which is about what's going on today. And if people talk, they just use the word justice off and on however they want to use it. But in the scripture, it's very clear. It's what God requires. The word in the Hebrew is mishpat, which means what God requires. And then it says to love, meaning to hold on to mercy. Well, the word mercy is hard to translate, and in the RSV translated it as steadfast love. But steadfast love, mercy, not really the best translation. The word in the Hebrew is hesed, which means loyalty to a covenant. Meaning when you enter into relationship with God, you enter into a covenant. And we're supposed to keep the terms of the covenant. You know, all life really, in a sense, revolves around covenants, doesn't it? People have agreements, either written or oral or tacitly understood, however. But a covenant is something that causes the world to stick together and to make the world go more smoothly. And when people start violating covenants, then everything begins to fall apart. And so he's talking about we got to keep the promises that we made with God and to God when we entered into relationship with him. And then he says to walk humbly with God. The appropriate term there is with, because it doesn't mean that we are to make plans running ahead of God and saying, now, God, I've made these plans. You come along and put your good housekeeping seal of approval on them. Nor does it mean lagging behind and having to be dragged, kicking, and screaming towards what God wants us to do and to accomplish. You walk with God. And God has promised to be with us. And in fact, this first psalm says, blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of sinners. We walk with God. But you know, we have a tendency to think that if we enter into a relationship with God, that God is supposed to keep us from anything bad that ever happens in this fallen world. And as you know, there's plenty of bad that goes on in this world. I'm reminded of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, that great prophet, had a long ministry, troubled ministry. God told him, said, I've picked you out to do something special for me, and I want you to do it. And God entered into covenant with him, but God told him, it ain't going to be easy. You're not going to have a smooth sailing. And Jeremiah found that out. Go read Jeremiah, the end of 11 and the first of 12, where Jeremiah is lamenting because there are people who are trying literally to murder him. And he complains and says, God, what are you going to do about this for me? And God had to tell him, I didn't promise you a rose garden, to coin a phrase. I didn't promise you a rose garden. And God gave him another challenge. He said, if you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with the horses? And if in paddling in a summer brook, you trip and fall. What are you going to do in the swelling and the flooding of the Jordan? In other words, it can get worse, and it will. But I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. And of course, one of the ways in which we sort of acknowledge that is by that marvelous Psalm 23, as you know. And I think I've told you before about this dear lady that we knew down in Sanford who she loved the 23rd Psalm. And we got her some kind of some sort of something that had the 23rd Psalm on it, and she kept it with her all the time, and she wanted to be buried with it, which she was. But the 23rd Psalm in the old King Jimmy is not really the 23rd Psalm as it is written in the Hebrew. As it is written in the Hebrew, it's "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything I need. God makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters and restores my life. No matter what the circumstance, he restores my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness." It's not the shadow of death, it's deep darkness. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they protect me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for as long as I shall live." Well, this dear lady, she didn't like my translation. And she asked me to, said, "Now I want you to do my memorial service when I pass on." And I told her I would. And she said, "I want you to do the 23rd Psalm, and I want you to do it right." And, of course, that's meaning the way it was in the old King Jimmy. But at any rate, that is a marvelous statement about what happens when we walk with God in the right and proper ways. And you know, it probably wouldn't be wrong for us, as sort of a prayer at the end of this meditation, to all of us to repeat the 23rd Psalm the way you remember it, the way you learned it, however you learned it. Let's do that. You ready? You with me? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they protect me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall live in the presence of the Lord forever. Amen."
Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together as we sing a hymn, Preparation, as we prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's Supper.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that you have invited us to walk with you, to be in relationship with you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came to live among us as a human being and to give his life for us. Indeed, on the night before he was crucified, he gathered with his disciples and offered them bread, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way also after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you drink of it. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes for us." And so it is in faith that we partake together this day, knowing that we are not worthy on our own, but coming to you clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Jesus, on that last night, gathered with his disciples and broke bread and offered to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this and remember me." We invite you, as you are served the bread, to hold it, and then we will partake all together at once, reminding us of our family connection as sisters and brothers in Christ. Then, as you serve the cup, we invite you to partake of that individually, reminding us that indeed we walk with the Lord, we come to the Lord in faith, one person at a time. This is the Lord's table. It is a table of grace, a table of forgiveness offered to you in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you, drink of it." Let us pray. Oh Lord, thank you for this meal that we have shared. You have fed our souls. You have given us exactly what we need in and through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless us now as we leave from this table that indeed we would take that nourishment and share it and use it in ways that would bring honor and glory to you. We pray through Jesus, who taught all his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now express our gratefulness and thanksgiving to the Lord in the gifts that we present to his glory. give you all our praise from the very depth of our being. You deserve that, Lord, and you are the one who indeed deserves the glory for what you have done for us and continue to do for us, and indeed will do throughout all the ages. So we thank you and praise you this day. We give these gifts now as just a way of expressing our thanks to you and to continue to make our prayer that indeed you would use us for your glory through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Now may the God with whom you walk and who walks with you be your loving shepherd to give you everything you need, no matter what kind of day it might be, that indeed you may enjoy being in his presence for your whole life long and indeed forevermore. Amen.
by chance head at home?
What's that?
Are you by chance head at home?
I am.
Can I steal a ride?
Of course you can.
I think Beverly must have got sick because she left. Beverly, I think she got sick and left.
Oh, really?
You were going to San School and she was